Hello and welcome back to another edition of YCT Matters. This is Carol Platt-Liebau, president of Yankee Institute. And today we are so delighted to be joined by Dr. Carol Ann Marquis. And she is the CEO of the Connecticut Center for Educational Excellence, a project of Yankee Institute. And we are celebrating its first anniversary because Dr. Marquis opened the center about a year ago. And there is so much wonderful news to share, so many wonderful stories I know she has to share with us. And so congratulations, Carol Ann, and welcome to YCT Matters.
Thank you.
And so just so all of our listeners can sort of remember and get caught up, tell us a little bit about the center and why it exists and what you do.
I would love to. The center is a scholarship-granting organization to low-income families. What makes it unique, or what made it unique when it opened last year, was we had the vision to not limit it to a particular sect of school or a particular location where parents live, but we wanted to reach out to all of Connecticut and make this available. We knew that we already had evidence that the need was great. Frankly, we didn't have evidence that it was as great as it turned out to be in 1 year. We did very little to notify the state that we were coming. And yet...
State meaning Connecticut, not the government.
Yes,
just
absolutely.
People, low-income people across the state who wanted educational opportunity and access for their children, right?
Right, to private education. When we released our applications a year ago on March 1st, I was absolutely, I had gone through this with limited access for cities prior, but I could not believe the response. And literally in a matter of less than 3.5 months, we had received over 730 applications from 78 municipalities across Connecticut, and they kept coming. By the end of the year, and we kept the ticker on just to keep an eye to see really what was going on out there, we were very close to 1,000 applications.
And it's amazing, isn't it? Because this was without any real advertising, anything. This was just word of mouth among people and eligible people within about 250% of the federal poverty level. Is that correct?
Yes, it is. Parents can apply. They have to submit financial information, their federal 1040 for the most current year, to show us how many dependents they have and what their gross adjusted income is. On our application form online, they can see for the size of their family what the income limit would be. So when they fill out that application, they already know if they qualify as a low-income family. What we did, Carol, was just simply notify the schools that we were coming. And it just literally exploded. And you're right, word of mouth is parents that want change. They want this desperately. And once they got word of it, it spread like wildfire. Area after area that hadn't qualified before suddenly were showing up with 80, 90 applications, from a particular municipality that had really not had a lot of access to the schools they wanted to attend.
And, it's been so wonderful to get to hear about what a difference it makes when these little ones are so desperate to escape a failing public school or a situation that simply isn't meeting their needs or their gifts. Just the transformative difference it makes, isn't it?
It is transformative, and we hear story after story. And I've been doing this for a while now, and I've gotten to know our families, our parents, our students, our administrators, and there is need for this. There are children that don't fit inside the box of where they're at for whatever reason. It could be lack of education in the family. It could be lack of income. It could be language issues. But they're looking for, if you will, not a handout, but a hand up. And I'm quoting another commercial, but that is what they're looking for. And, you know, I was telling the story the other day of a mom who got a hold of me facing a really tragic situation for she and her two little children. And at that time, her daughter was in fourth grade and her little one was in kindergarten. And this young girl was so traumatized that she just started to withdraw. She went back to her public school and she was bullied severely until in 2 weeks, she ran away from her fourth grade class four times in fear. So mom was so frightened, so unaware of what could be done. And we were able to find a school that really fit their needs, that was small, that was nurturing, that could reach out to the inadequacies that were there at home. And she called me last week, and Carol, you know, because I called you, I was coming, you know, a little bit unglued with the news. But this daughter is now a senior in high school. She has applied to, been accepted, and is receiving scholarship offers from no less than six colleges. This is the kind of thing that we see. That's just one case. There are many others. I mean, I have a young man that didn't speak a word of English, and he just sat in the corner in his school, not knowing what to do, came to a school that they could deal with that. They were equipped to deal with it. He is now an eighth grader, and he spends every lunch hour for the last 5 years tutoring children that come into that school that do not speak English. So this isn't just give me, this is pass it on. And it's so exciting to see. It's so exciting to hear the parents. It's so exciting to hear the children talk about how they're learning and how it fits where they're at in life. And their dreams are unbelievable. This last week, and Carol, you saw it as well, we heard young people saying, you know, I'm going to be a surgeon. I'm going to be a teacher. I'm going to be an architect. I think that one of them that brought a tear to my eye was a young man, and I know this family, they are very poor. But no, he said, I'm going to be an architect, and I'm also going to be an artist, and I am going to do well, and I am going to come here back to this school where I have now been for 12 years. And he said, I am going to build the school building that they've never had. We have 11 acres here. And he says, I'm already working on my plans.
It's wonderful. And one of the things I love about the way this program is structured is that every family, no matter how low their income, has skin in the game. They pay part of their own tuition. I mean, this really isn't a handout. And you know, tell us a little bit about these families and what they do in order to find the money to partially finance their own children's education, because they're not asking for a handout. They're just asking for help so that they can do their part and then get what they need to make the ends meet.
You're so correct, Carol. And first of all, when they apply, we verify their income. And without that verification, we also verify that the school will accept that child. And the parents do understand they have skin in the game, that they are responsible for the balance of the tuition, that we don't meet with the scholarship. Here's the good news. You mentioned that earlier. Less than 3% of the parents right now who receive scholarships from us default on their payments. I check at the beginning of the year to make sure everything is well. They're in place. The parents have signed up and, you know, completed what they need to do. We send half of the scholarship. We do that again in January. Now, we check in a lot during the year, but in January, we call up again and say, are they still, you know, is the child doing well? Are the parents keeping up with their payments? And we get these numbers of less than 3% or behind. And the interesting thing on that is that they just, this is a priority. They realize that this is the chance for that child to go where their dreams for their child take them. And it becomes something that they're completely committed to. So it's so wonderful to see. But, you know, I had a call last week from a head of school that said, you know, I'm obligated to let you know that mom is on real, real hard times. And she says, I don't know where this is going to go because she's lost her job. And both of her girls are honor students in this school. She said, but I also have to let you know something, and I hope this is okay. And I said, what? She said, the other scholarship parents anonymously went together and raised the money, and they've paid mom's bill.
Oh, my goodness. Isn't that remarkable?
So they understand not only what they're getting, but they see the bigger picture that the students around them are getting this opportunity. And we visited a school this week that's just wonderful quality. Their entire educational concept and plan is marvelous. And I was just so thrilled to hear the head of school say, yes, we do have parents that come to this school that can just write a check. But we treasure the parents that come to this school that want to do everything in their power to get their child this opportunity. And these scholarships are what are bringing those students in our door. And we love having them.
Well, you know, it's interesting to me because we hear so much talk nowadays about, you know, diversity and all this kind of thing. But the thing that's really wonderful is that you do see at this school, children from all walks of life. And I think it is really nice for the children of the parents who can simply write a check to be exposed to these other children who come from very different backgrounds, very different situations. And they are so appreciative of the opportunity to be there, so eager to take advantage of all the benefits that school has to offer, and, you know, really benefits that otherwise the children whose parents are just able to pay a check might otherwise take for granted. And in a day and age when, you know, so many people worry about entitlement, a culture of entitlement, and everything else, it really is a wonderful thing to see children of very different backgrounds able to come together and do so much for each other. And so when we think about, you know, diversity, it isn't in the sort of woke way where we're all just looking at each other in the opposite of the way Dr. King intended. You know, it is truly that kind of diversity where we are looking at each other based on the content of our characters and the character of a lot of these children who are so grateful, so eager to take advantage of every opportunity they're being afforded is a really wonderful example for children who might not otherwise be fully aware of all the gifts they've been given.
Absolutely. There's two things on what you just said, Carol. One is I really believe that part of our work too is for these parents that are so willing to work for it and want it so badly for their children. We help them. We just spoke with a mom that said, I did all the research. I found what would help my son when he was coming into kindergarten, but I couldn't close that last piece of it because I just couldn't get that much money put together with my skills and learning and ability to earn pay. I got the scholarship. Now that little guy sat there in fourth grade and he is doing great. And the head of school tells us she's the biggest advocate at the school for children and families. But the other piece is the entitlement piece. And what kind of amazed me was some of the schools that we had to say, okay, we have parents that really want to come here. We can provide this scholarship. How do you feel about that? Because you have a pretty well-off student body. And they stopped and they thought about it. And then they said, why not? And I had one principal call me halfway through the year. And he said, you know what? The culture of my school has changed with the 21 families that came in here with scholarships. He said, the parents are the first to arrive to help. He said, they're the first at the door every day to check in with the teacher. They're the first to show up at parent meetings. And the sense of entitlement has changed in this school. And now, and these are his words. He says, now the word is opportunity.
It's a wonderful thing to see. And, you know, I was so struck because we have been going together to some of these schools.
Yes.
And I've been able to be exposed to some of the things that you've been seeing now with your vast experience. And it's wonderful to see the dedication and to hear what some of the heads of schools say about the transformation they see in some of these little ones who have come in from public schools that frankly weren't serving them. And, you know, some public schools, some of our public schools are the best in the country. You know, I have a son in public school and some of them are really wonderful and they have dedicated teachers, but some, frankly, simply aren't getting the job done. They're failing. And they're failing the children in them. And can you tell us a little bit, you know, summarize for us what we've heard from these administrators about the changes they see in these little ones who come in maybe from a school that is failing?
Well, we hear time and time again from the administrators that they see change. And a lot of it is just comfort that the students come in and realize they're welcomed. And they very quickly embrace the ability to be part of their learning, to be part of that curriculum. But if I may, Carol, I have to remind you of probably the best Christmas present I've had in years this year. I attended a program at one of our schools, and a young woman that I worked with when she was coming out of fourth grade in the publics and being put into the fifth grade during COVID, mother called me and said, I don't have any right to call you. I don't live in the right spot, this, that. But she said, my girl can't read, write, or do basic math, and I don't know where to turn. And we worked all summer with a school, a very special school and very special teachers. We got some medical advice in for that student. And when she came in that year at the beginning of the next year, she barely qualified at first grade level. And she was supposed to be put into fifth grade. When we walked into the concert at Christmas, there she was waiting for me. I gave her a hug and I said, what grade are you in now? Thinking, okay, it's been 3 years, third, fourth. She looked at me almost indignantly and said, seventh. Seventh? And she said, I have a Christmas present for you. And she handed me her transcript. Seventh grade, straight A's.
I mean, that's the difference it makes. And, you know, I know there are so many wonderful, generous people across the state. And I would like to invite them to look at your website, CT for Connecticut, CTCEE, and figure out
.org.
Thanks, Carol Ann. To figure out CTCEE and figure out how they might consider partnering with you in this work. Because, you know, even just a little bit can make such a huge difference. It can transform a life. And now is the time that the new scholarship applications are coming out, and you're going to be trying to figure out what you have in order to help more of these families. And I mean, these are scholarships of up to $2,500. These aren't huge amounts of money, but they just change a child's life in a way I can't even describe. I've been blown away by seeing these little ones, hearing these parents almost in tears about the difference it's made for them. And these are people who are so eager to see their children have this opportunity, and they'll do anything for it. I mean, I know there's some working three jobs, right, Carol Ann?
Absolutely. And Carol, we released this year the application for the 24-25 academic year next year on March 1st at midnight. Within a half an hour, we had 100 applications stacked up trying to get into our system to the point where it crashed. Right now, we are at almost 400 applications in just 8 days.
The need is so great. And, you know, there's legislation this year actually coming up. We were there, weren't we, on Wednesday?
Yes. How were we?
Oh, yes, we were. And there'll be pictures up at the CTCEE.org website. And I'm sure on Yankees as well, because HB 5101 is the bill. But what we are trying to do is get legislation for something called opportunity scholarships passed. And what those opportunity scholarships would do is give a tax credit to any individual or business who donates to an organization like CTCEE that gives scholarships to low-income families who are trying to get some educational access and opportunity for their children. And one thing we hope everyone understands, this doesn't take a penny from our public schools. You know, there are the leaders of the teachers' unions are throwing a fit about this, and they're going to say it defunds our public schools. It does not. This doesn't touch any funding for the public schools. This is all privately funded. We count on the generosity of people like the ones listening to this program who care about the futures of these little ones, who have parents who are trying so hard simply to allow their potential to be unleashed. And so I know, Carol Ann, where can they reach out to you if they have questions?
You can certainly reach out to me. Call me directly, 585-472-5221. That is on the website. My email is carolann@ctcee.org. And while you're on that website, take a look at a group of students on there as they talk about their dreams. And then very shortly, you're going to see some videos of students that we have visited with, and you'll hear them personally tell their stories as well. You know, the old thing is, what keeps you awake at night? What keeps me awake at night is two things. One, I can't get the children out of my mind sometimes when I've been with them because my heart just feels like it's going to burst. But the other part is praying, because we need those additional funds, because it really hurts to turn those kids away.
And so I don't mean to turn our podcast into a telethon, but we do ask for your support. And that's the website again is CT for Connecticut, CEE, Center for Educational Excellence.org, because we want to see all our children live lives of dignity and fulfillment. And the best way they can do that is through getting a wonderful education that honors each child's uniqueness.
Absolutely.
Carol Ann, thank you so much for joining us on this edition of YCT Matters. And that everyone, that's Dr. Carol Ann Marquis, the CEO of the Connecticut Center for Educational Excellence. Thanks for all you're doing, Carol Ann.
And Carol, thank you for having the wisdom to open this door to go statewide and come in and bring the resources of Yankee to work together with us. What a blessing.
Well, everyone will be keeping you posted on HB 5101. And again, help us get the resources we need to be able to help these very deserving, very opportunity-minded families help their children. And thank you so much. This is Carol Platt-Liebau, president of Yankee Institute. We look forward to having you with us again on the next edition of YCT Matters.
I'll show you around this place I call home.